You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
And views expressed on this program are the responsibility of those who make them. They do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Thank you for joining me here at The Kevin Smith Show. And for all of you listening for the very first time, a special welcome. I'm delighted you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a really good habit to get into. If you're new, you don't know that we have a free weekly newsletter, and you need to know that. And you can subscribe. It truly is free, no strings attached. You can subscribe by going over to kevinsmithshow.com and click on the link. You'll see it in red letters, big red letters, right in the middle of your screen. And subscribe. It only takes a few seconds to do so. And then you will be in the loop. You will not be out of the loop. You'll be in the loop, and that's the place to be. Curious things seem to be swirling about the Earth. You know, we've been talking about this big UFO sighting down in Texas. And we're going to talk about that tonight with the director and founder of IPUS, which is the International Paranormal UFO Society. That is Dick Criswell, and of course you've met him before here on the show. He's going to join us in a few minutes, and we'll talk about some developments in that situation. But it seems that there are some big things happening with UFOs all around the Earth. And right now, one of the really big things that's out is a new video out of Turkey. Now, we've been hearing about a lot of UFO sightings in Turkey, and apparently they're rather spectacular. But this video that is out now was taken by a security guard at a compound in Turkey. And it's one of the clearest up-close UFO videos I think I have ever seen, as this UFO was apparently hovering over the compound. Very large UFOs are being sighted around the world, and that's what happened down in Texas. That's what has happened several years ago here in Phoenix with the Phoenix Lights. It appears to be what happened over in Turkey. And by the way, let me thank our listener from Hong Kong that emailed me the link. Thank you, Mr. Gould, for emailing me the link to that video out of Turkey. But it seems like that extraterrestrial visitors are saying, "Hi, folks, we are here. And, you know, we don't want there to be any doubt about this. We are here, even though there are people telling you we are not. Here we are." That seems like kind of what's happening. I may be wrong about that. But if I am, we'll find out soon enough. It seems that things are moving toward a denouement. And that pretty soon the curtain is going to come down, and we are going to see the Wizard of Oz. We are going to see the man behind the curtain, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent. It seems like it's about to happen. We'll be back with Dick Criswell right after this. You know, Valentine's Day is just a few days away, and you don't want to make the mistake of forgetting to say, I love you, to that very special person in your life. Fresh, beautiful red roses say what you feel better than words ever could. And our friends over at 1-800-Flowers have put together something very special to help you express your love. When you purchase a dozen of their spectacular long-stemmed red roses, you'll get another dozen for free. Plus, they come with a beautiful free vase. Click the 1-800-Flowers banner on my website at kevinsmithshow.com and you'll be transported to the special Valentine's Day page at 1-800-Flowers. Send the gift that says more than your words could ever express. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. I'll be there in the morning light.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today.
As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, this thing taking place over in Texas is a big thing. It's not a little thing, it's a big thing. And that is, of course, the sighting of a very large UFO by a very large number of very credible witnesses. But it has been made bigger by subsequent events, subsequent developments. You will remember that we had on this show Constable Gayton, who talked with us about what he saw. He's from that area. He's a constable around Dublin, Texas. And he shared with us what he saw and what people are saying in the area. And you'll remember that he said he saw military jets flying after the thing. Well, as it turns out, that plays a pretty big role in what we're going to discuss tonight. My guest is Dick Criswell. Dick, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Always a pleasure to be on your show there, Kevin.
Before we get too much into this, I want you to share what you shared with me about the weather in your part of the country. It's just too weird.
Well, we were sitting here about, I think it was about 7 o'clock, and we was watching the news, and they said that we was going to get 80-mile-an-hour winds, 60 to 80-mile-an-hour winds, and rain, tornadoes, and then right after that, we were supposed to get some snow. And we seen where some of the windows had blown out in Indianapolis by the winds, and some barns were tore up, and there were some housing additions also tore up. And right now we're probably about in the 16-mile-an-hour winds, and it's getting ready to snow. So we've just about had the gamut today.
You know what's so weird about that, and I mentioned this to you when we talked, is that you know, tornadoes are usually a function of summertime weather. And, you know, tropical type weather, and here you've got rain and then a tornado and then snow. This seems like a page out of the book Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah, I believe that the weather actually got up today about just a little over, I think we were about 53, 54. It was nice out, you know, kind of a nice, you know, kind of a windbreaker weather. And it was just so nice out there to not be in the snow for a while. And, you know, one would not even suspect that all this was going to be coming our way. But I think we're in the times that you're going to see very different weather patterns.
Yeah, well, apparently you're seeing them now. And I hope that we do not lose contact with you due to the weather. If we do, we will try to recontact you, but hope that everything stays safe and sound in that 60-mile-an-hour wind. And for those around the world, that's 100 kilometers per hour. Now, that's a lot of wind. All right. Dick, this thing, you know, we talked about this a little bit, the UFO sighting in Texas. And since we talked, and I'm talking about on the air, now you and I have talked a couple of times since you were with me last on the show, but on the air we talked about this UFO sighting in Texas just a little bit, and there were some strange elements to it right on the front end of it. Since then, there have been further developments that have made this thing even more incredibly strange. Why don't you share with us a little bit of what's happened since we talked? Now, where we were when we talked, the story was big UFO, lots of people saw it, and saw military jets chasing it, and the Air Force said impossible, we had no airplanes in the air in that area, and that's where it stood when we last talked. What's happened since then?
Well, very many developments have happened since then. Of course, we had this this Major Carl Lewis that come out with a cockamamie story that first we didn't have the jets. Now we got 10 F-14s in the area. And I smelled a rat right there. You know, it was one of them things that you say, aha, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's got to be more to this story than meets the eye. So we, IPAS, my organization, we talked with this this guy that was a, he's a defense contractor. And he worked for General Dynamics. He's retired now. And we kind of, you know, got to chatting about, you know, what he knew about jets and so forth. And this guy is really, really an interconnected type individual. And he asked his name not be brought up for obvious reasons. And we got to talking and so forth, and he told us that the scenario there didn't fit. He said that the he said 10 of those F-14s, you got to realize the money that would cost to scramble jets like that. Okay, the manpower, the fuel, all that stuff. he believed that there was maybe, he would believe that there was maybe four jets, like the F-14s or F-16s, but never 10 of those jets. And the reason he says this is the only time that they ever scramble 10 of those F-14s or 16s or whatever they were. We believe that they were probably F-14s by some eyewitness testimony. But he told us that the scenario that he thought was that the F-14s had probably were chasing something that had probably breached some presidential airspace or something in the area that was considered sensitive. So in the meantime, after we had talked with him, an airline pilot came forward to IPUS, and he told us that the what he had seen, and the Air Force got this right, he had seen jets chasing this UFO off the Crawford's Texas ranch of George Bush's. Okay, so right then and there, I said, aha, that's the way the Air Force likes to cover stuff up. So we broke this story, I think it was on Friday, after we had confirmed with a bunch of other eyewitnesses and so forth. And that's where we're at. We don't believe that baloney story of just jets, and that's what they seen in the sky. Well, they did. That was a half-truth. They did see the jets, but what the jets were chasing is the other part of the story. Now, Kevin, you know we had talked about this before, that, doggone it, the Air Force can't tell anything straight, or the government, or whoever you want to blame there. But
well, let me say this, because we know from your own testimony that there are parts of the government that want to tell what's going on with these UFOs, and then there are parts that aren't. And when we say the government, you're talking about millions of people that work for the government. It's the number one employer in the United States. And so, you know, I don't want to paint a broad brush here and say the government, because that's an easy way for us to do it, but it's apparently it's not the whole government. It's parts of the government that tell cover stories and parts of it that want to disclose.
And you're right. There are parts of the government that are really fine people that want this thing out in the open, as I have told you before. But there are parts that could care less. And I have to almost go back, Kevin, to the Roswell case, to where they were telling about, you know, the weather balloons and all the different things, and about the alien, when they brought up, when the eyewitnesses brought up the thing about the aliens. Of course, the Air Force wanted to talk about the dummies that
you're talking about at Roswell.
Yes. At Roswell, mm-hmm. They were wanting to talk about the dummies that were dropped out of planes at Roswell. Well, you know, that's all well and good, but that's not a true story, because the dummies didn't come into play till 1953, and here we're looking at 1947. So, you know, I think if the Air Force figures they've got some time and there's probably some people out there not paying attention, they can slide this stuff through.
Well, yeah. Now, in fairness, let's assume that this UFO did get over presidential airspace, which of course is highly restricted, even if George Bush was not at the ranch. If the president was in Washington, still the airspace above his home is in Texas is restricted, highly restricted airspace. And so let's say that this UFO did get into that. we would expect the Air Force to scramble. They're looking at their radar. They see something is there and or is coming that direction. Maybe they don't know what it is, but that makes it all the more urgent to get up there and take care of business. And so they scramble. Let's just assume this is hypothetical. And then the thing just flies off and leaves them, and they're unable to control it, unable to force it to land, unable to do anything with it. That isn't something that I think they would want to come out and publicly admit. And so I understand why, if that scenario is what happened, I understand why they would want to use a cover story. But I think it's up to the rest of us to use our minds and read through the cover story. We don't know what it was either. But one thing I think we're fairly certain of is that we've got a whole bunch of really credible witnesses, people that are not what you could call UFO enthusiasts, who said, I saw this thing, and it had military jets chasing it. Now, when they said that, they're telling you that they saw something that was not a military jet being chased by military jets. They are differentiating between the two. And, Dick, what I found very interesting about this is the first story said there were no jets. When they came back later and said, well, we had 10 jets operating in the area, and that's probably what people thought was a UFO. Here's the problem with that. All the witnesses saw a UFO. They saw something that was not a military jet being chased by military jets. They differentiated between the two, and when the Air Force confirmed that they had jets there, they really actually confirmed that these people saw what they saw.
That's absolutely correct. Yes, that's absolutely correct. And you know, the guest that you had, I believe his name was Leroy Guyton.
Yes.
I'm telling you, those are the type of witnesses that we want, you know, in this field, to nail down this stuff. I have to commend you for bringing him on the show, because I'm going to tell you what, I found him to be highly credible, and there's some things that you probably don't know about that man that I was told, and he is he's just one of them people that you just don't find every day, and I think that is part of their problem, because they're trying to get this thing swept under the rug. And we're not going to let it happen this time. Believe me, we're not going to let it happen.
Well, I think that's partially why they came out with the second story. And let me explain. You see, this time it didn't work like Roswell. This time, when the press got a hold of it, the press did not go through, in large part, the press did not go through the ha-ha-ha routine. They reported it as straight news. And when major media got a hold of it, Bill O'Reilly interviewed a couple of witnesses. And with one of them said, you know, I saw the UFO, it came over, and just a little bit it came back, and there were military jets chasing it. And Bill O'Reilly said, well, you are aware the Air Force says they had no jets operating in that area. And the guy said, yes, of course. And I said, yeah, and, you know. And then Bill O'Reilly said, well, you know, that kind of makes you look like a conspiratorialist. Are you absolutely sure you saw military jets? And the guy said, absolutely certain. And so what's happened is the media did not respond as before. And then the public did not respond. You know, just because the military says they didn't have jets, that didn't shake this guy. He said, so what? I saw them. you know?
See, and that's really what I like about the witnesses. The witnesses aren't going to back down on this story. And you know, as we have talked before, that puts a real problem on the Air Force, because they can't budge these witnesses from what they said and what they saw, you know, and it rings true. And I have to commend some of the media for staying on this story. I mean, this is really something, because when we had the Phoenix Lights, you remember that, 1997, when we had the Phoenix Lights, that kind of, you know, they had flares and all that kind of stuff. So they wanted to tell this story. We knew different, because we had interviewed some of the witnesses out there. I mean, they stayed to their story, but then the media split off and wanted to talk about the flares, you know. Uh-huh. But this time it seems like the tide has turned, because even on a show, I think it was today, Matt Lauer said he believes that there's extraterrestrial beings out there, and he says, why not? You know, so these are people that I'm starting to hear tell this story, and it seems like the media is wanting to believe the investigator's side of the story than the Air Force, which I find really ironic.
Well, and I'll say again, you know, that I understand why the Air Force maybe would want to use a cover story for this. They probably have all kinds of investigations going on right now that they're not going to tell us about, and really can't and probably should not tell us about at the moment. But they probably have lots of investigation going on. And, you know, this is one of those things where, you know, what can they say that would not be embarrassing to them and damaging to them? They've got to try and get to the bottom of it. So I understand that. And I'm really not too critical of them for using a cover story here. I would suggest they get a better script writer and tell something a little more believable. Now, let me, we're coming up on a break here. A couple of minutes. Let me get your reaction to this. What if the Air Force were to come out and say something like this? Yes, there was an incident. There was an incursion into restricted airspace. We are aware. We did respond, and it is under full investigation. We have no further comment. How do you think the public would respond to that?
They'd be all over them, because they'd want to know more, you know. I am really surprised that the second story didn't come out, Kevin, as, well, you know, we've checked into this, and due to national security reasons, we can't comment any further. And that's what I thought was going to come out.
See, they have to be careful with that kind of thing, too, because they have publicly stated that, number one, we're not investigating UFOs. Number two, whatever they are, they do not pose a national security threat. Now, they've made those public statements, and so they have to be careful with what they say. I'm not sure what they could say. I mean, it looks to me like it's any direction they step, they're going to step in a big pile of it, it seems to me. And I have an appreciation for that fact. And I'll tell you something else too. We're headed into this break. Listen, when I was a cop, I've been misquoted by the media, and I've been misquoted severely. And I know that it is a minefield when you're talking with someone that's got a microphone shoved up in your face. And they'll take anything you say and make it what they want it to be. So you really got to be careful. And, you know, I do have an appreciation for the difficulty of their job. On the other hand, the witnesses have not budged. And that's what I want us to get into when we get back, what some of the witnesses are saying. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this.
sunshine cleanse my wounds. What we say I have to do is to believe in you, and I will be done. Flowers bloom, flowers die, children wonder why beauty is. Shatter you, shatter me.
We are back. My guest is Dick Criswell, and we are talking about the very strange and becoming stranger UFO incident in Texas around the Stephenville area. One of the things, Dick, we didn't point out is that the president's ranch at Crawford, Texas, is a very short distance to the southeast of Stephenville and Dublin, Texas, which are in Erath County. It's just a few miles from there over to Crawford. And certainly if you're flying a UFO, it's a blink of an eye. And so it's very close.
Yes, it is very close. And a matter of fact, when we broke the story, I think we posted a map to show the closeness of where they had actually seen these UFOs and the Bush compound. And they expand that airspace accordingly. It can be as small as 16 miles. Airspace, and it can be expanded further because there's been a lot of pilots been busted going through there, depending on whether Mr. Bush is at the ranch or not.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things that people don't know if they don't fly. You know, if they're not pilots, they don't realize that one of the things that a pilot is doing when he's in that cockpit is very aware of all the areas that he's restricted from. And And it's very, very busy when you're up there. It's if you're flying an airplane, you are busy. It's not just you know, relaxing and kick back and look at the clouds. That's what the passengers do. But if you're actually driving the thing, it is busy, and you're getting instructions all the time from some air traffic controller. Now, the witnesses. You know, I talked about this in my article that's in the K-Files magazine for January, which, by the way, folks, is out. If you're a member, if you're part of our members area, go over to the members area and download the January edition of the K-Files magazine, and you'll find some very interesting things there. One of them is an article that I wrote. I think it's interesting. I hope so. And it's this article has to do with this event, and I talk about Dublin, Texas, because that's where Constable Gayton is from, and what the people are like in that area. I happen to know what the people are like in that area. It's not far from Dallas. I've been in that area several times in my life. I know people personally who are from that area. By the way, did you know Ben Hogan, the world-famous golfer of years gone by, is from Dublin, Texas? Did you know that?
I did know that because at one time I was into golf big time, and I did know that.
Well, the character of the people there is this. Now, it's this is painting with a broad brush, but the character of the people is generally, if they say the sky is purple polka dotted with yellow stripes in it, you really don't have to go out and check. It is. Don't know why, but it is. And, they just don't make up fanciful stories. They're very feet-on-the-ground kind of people. It is the home of the original Dr. Pepper plant, Dr. Pepper bottling plant with the original formula. And they still produce it by means of the original formula right there in Dublin, Texas. And, in fact, they refer to Dublin as Dr. Pepper, Texas. And Old Doc's Soda Shop is still there. And but the point is, this is very solid, feet-on-the-ground kind of people. And when they say they saw it, they saw it. And they're just not the type of people given to making up fanciful stories. And then you've got very credible people that are among the witnesses. By credible, I mean as observers, trained observers. We're talking about pilots. We're talking about law enforcement officers. And you interviewed a pilot. You talked with a pilot. Now, you mentioned it briefly, but share with us what he told you that he saw.
He told us that he seen a UFO, and he seen the jets that were right behind the UFO from the southern exposure, which they had talked about. Some of the witnesses, now prior to this, they had said that they came from the south. So that is a kind of a confirmation of what he was telling us. Mm-hmm. So I have no qualms with this pilot. He told us his name and what he had, how many years he'd been a pilot and all that. And
now, is he a commercial pilot or private pilot?
He's a private pilot. And we had done some checking on him, and he's legit. I mean, there's no, we didn't have any qualms with his story. But you know, you want to find out if these people are stringing you along, or you know, just what's going on, because you want to tell the facts. You know, when you investigate something, you want to be able to say, yeah, I believe his story because of the credibility that this guy brings to the table.
Well, let me tell you something that I think you'll connect with. A lot of times, police officers, this is a police analogy. Police officers discuss whose department is better, this city or that city or that city, you know. And you know, we talk about, well, they get trained in this and they get trained in this and we get trained in that. And you compare. But one of the things that cops all over this country know is that the larger the police department, the less training the individual officer gets. Now, here's why. If you're in a small town and you get assigned to go investigate a burglary, you get assigned to go, someone's house has been broken into. You get there and you look at the situation and you see, yes, someone's broken into this house. There's forced entry here. If you're at a small police department, you cannot call headquarters and say, well, send the detectives out and send the forensic team out. They don't have that. So the cop who gets the call and he's the first one on the scene is also the one who's going to be dusting for fingerprints, lifting fingerprints, photographing the scene, getting a list of the items taken and its value, and so forth. He is the investigator as well. He's the crime scene processor. He's the investigator. He's the first responding officer. He has to do it all. And so in a small department, it is generally true, not always, but generally true, that those people they have to do it all, so they've had to learn it all. This is also true whenever you're dealing with a private pilot. A private pilot generally doesn't have automatic pilot and computers running his aircraft.
That's right. He has to do it all.
He has to do it all. And that means that he's the navigator, he is the pilot. Very often he's the co-pilot, too, because they often fly alone. He's handling communications with the tower, and he's having to watch the skies around him. And so these people are very precise, trained observers. And if this guy says he saw military jets, I don't have a doubt in my mind that he saw military jets. If he says they were chasing a UFO, I have no doubt in my mind that they were chasing a UFO. Now, did he describe that UFO?
Yes. He did say that it appeared to him that it was at least 3 football fields and maybe larger than that. So,
What shape was it?
He said it looked like it was turned on its side, so he only got to see part of it on its side. He said it looked like it had a circular, but not quite circular. He said he wished he'd had like gun cameras on there to send to us,
mm-hmm.
But rest assured, Kevin, we have people that are sending us video as we speak tonight that will be up on our website. So, you know, you got to stay tuned on that because we are going to have some possibly some stills and some video of this event. But he was excited when he seen it because he said, well, this was just too close. He believes that they came from the Bush compound because that, you know, that was the place he had seen him. But I believe he told us, and I'll have to look back at our notes, but I think he said it was like circular in nature.
All right, now, how far away from this? Well, I see we're into the break. Dick,
when we come back, I want to know how far away he was from this object. We'll be back, folks, after this break.
Did you know the Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcasts right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith Shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. We are back, and we are talking this evening with Dick Criswell, founder and director of International Paranormal UFO Society. They investigate such things as we are discussing here this evening. Dick, how far away was this pilot from what he was seeing?
I believe he said he was like a mile and a quarter, maybe a mile and a half away. So that would be pretty much of a bird's eye view if you're up in the air.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you something, and people need to realize this. When you're on the ground and you're trying to see a mile away, that's difficult. When you're in the air and trying to see a mile away, that's next door. I mean, that's a mile is nothing. in the air. And you can clearly see what is there, you know, and in fact, you can see all the way to the horizon.
And, especially if it's clear, it's like nothing. And you also have to consider the airspeed of whatever you're in, too.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's true. Have you talked with other witnesses from that area?
Yes. They all seem to cooperate on the story of this pretty much the same. I mean, it doesn't vary too much from one to another. That's the incredible part, you know, of this whole story, because if it was, you know, it's kind of almost like, when somebody holds somebody up, and you know this, you know, by your line of work, like say somebody held somebody up, you might get four or five different descriptions of the suspect. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, so, you look for the commonality. Somebody says he has an orange hat, and someone else says no, it was a yellow hat. Okay, well, something orangish, yellowish, but he had the hat.
Right. But what I'm saying is, when you have as many witnesses as we had to the website, and they're still coming in, this is something that I want to make a plea tonight. If anybody's listening in Texas and they want to make a private report and they don't want their names mentioned or anything, that's basically what we do, because we consider ourselves like doctor-patient type relationship. We won't tell any more than you want us to tell. If you want us to give your name, hey, so be it. You know, the more that we learn about this case, it's good for all of us, and I mean that sincerely. And you can get involved at canyoustandthetruth.com at IPAS, and you know, become a member. You can do as much as you want. We're looking for directors in every state in the union, and membership. And we have different ways to get involved up there. So,
all right. Now, some of the other witnesses, what are they telling you?
They're telling some of them are telling us that they have video and or pictures, and that they said there was definitely jets following this UFO, and it was not what the Air Force had said it was.
When I talked with Constable Gayton, he was not able, he told us he was not able to see the actual structure of the craft. But he could see lights blinking all over it, but he couldn't see the actual structure, what the lights were attached to. But others are telling you that they did see it. And are they telling the same thing as the pilot? Are they saying that it was basically a circular shape?
Some are saying that you know, it was kind of like it was like a rectangular shape. Some are saying that it was and I believe this, Kevin. You know, everybody has their perspective of where they have seen this thing, okay? And if they're at a different angle, that it might look different to them. I've experienced that myself in a couple instances. But they most of them that had seen it at night said this thing had a bunch of lights on it. So, you know, it varies on from witness to witness whether they've seen it in daylight or whether they've seen it in darkness. And, you know, but the thing that I get a kick out of is they're all telling the same story. I mean, you know, it's not one of them things, well, like, you know, it was a banana or it was a potato or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You know how
have you seen this latest video from Turkey?
Absolutely, yes.
You know, as I looked at that thing, it appeared to me that we were looking, if it's got a front, we were looking at the front, and it appeared to me that it faded off into a shape very much like Kenneth Arnold sketched, which was sort of rounded on the front, and then it sweeps back into sort of bat wings at the back. And that's what the deal in Turkey appears to me to be. And I wonder if, I mean, you know, I was thinking about this. If you're looking at it from the front, it looks as if it were circular. But as it kind of moves and bobs up and down a little bit, you can sort of see that maybe it's not. Maybe it's not circular all the way around. Maybe it's rounded on one side and then something else on the backside. And I wonder if this one in Texas, maybe that was kind of the deal, and some of the people saw it from one perspective, it looks rounded. From another perspective, it didn't. And you know, I think there's some evidence for UFOs not being circular.
Well, you bring up a good point, and I was going to say this before, but I had forgot. Some of the witnesses, not specifically in this case, have told us that sometimes they see the UFOs in a certain structured thing, like you were talking about, either being round or they were rectangular. And I have talked to some of the people when I was in the AlphaCom team, and they had told me that the reason that they're seeing them that way, you know, it's kind of distorted in a different way, was because of the time displacement and speed at which these UFOs had traveled at don't appear to be all one structure. It looks like almost two. Now, that makes sense to me.
I'm trying to get my mind around that, but when we start talking about time and time displacement and time travel and different timelines, my mind has a difficult time with it.
Okay.
Pun intended.
Okay. Well,
it's hard for me to think that in a parallel universe there is a me living a life. And yet we've had guests that come on the show and assure me that that's the case. So maybe that's true. And I hope in one of those parallel universes I am a Bill Gates multi-gazillionaire.
So that you can do just whatever you want to do.
That's right. That's right. All right, now we've got about a minute until our top of the hour break. If you had to, on a scale of 1 to 10, as an investigator of these things and as a former member of AlphaCom, mm-hmm. or as a member of the former AlphaCom, 1 to 10. 10 is absolute certainty. 1, I'm not certain at all. How would you rate the way you think this thing is? Is it are you sure these people saw a UFO? Are you kind of sure? Are you not sure at all? 1 to 10, where do you put this one?
I'd give it a 9+.
All right.
Strong 9+.
And what would be the uncertainty in it?
I would say the uncertainty would be, I really don't think that there is an uncertainty, because these people are telling basically the same thing. I don't see that we're missing that much, other than the fact there may be somebody out there tonight listening to us that can add an extra thing to this. In other cases that I have been involved with, there have been big pieces missing.
All right, we have to go to break, and we'll continue that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, Dick Criswell, when we come back, you can talk with him if you have information about this sighting, or if you have questions or comments, 1-800-289-1092 on the other side of this break.
Without you.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel AllStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments, so click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website, or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. You know, Valentine's Day is just a few days away, and you don't want to make the mistake of forgetting to say, I love you, to that very special person in your life. Fresh, beautiful red roses say what you feel better than words ever could. And our friends over at 1-800-Flowers have put together something very special to help you express your love. When you purchase a dozen of their spectacular long-stemmed red roses, you'll get another dozen for free. Plus, they come with a beautiful free vase. Click the 1-800-Flowers banner on my website at kevinsmithshow.com and you'll be transported to the special Valentine's Day page at 1-800-Flowers. Send the gift that says more than your words could ever express.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
And we are back. Quickly, before I forget it, let me say this. If you're planning vacations for the holiday season, or if you're planning vacations for this next summer, be sure you seriously consider heading over to Hobart, Tasmania, and staying at the Bath Street Apartments. They are resort apartments and beautiful. Be sure you check that out. Also, Valentine's Day is coming up, and that special that you just heard about for the flowers with our sponsor, 1-800-Flowers, that ends on February 3rd, so you need to go check that out, all right? Now, we're going to take your telephone calls, and if you're in North America, it is toll-free, 1-800-289-1092. If you are outside of North America, you can call that number, but it is not a toll-free number from outside the U.S., or outside of Canada. It is toll-free inside the U.S. and Canada. Or if you're outside of North America, you can send me a Flash message. Send it to Flash, at kevinsmithshow.com.
We're talking with Dick Criswell. Dick, let's go straight to the phone lines. And, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
I have a comment and a question.
Go for it, man.
Okay, Dick, I hope you have your long underwear.
I've got my flap jacket on tonight.
Yesterday we went from 42 above to 8 below in a stretch of about 6 hours. I'm in Wyoming. We're about 4 days ahead of you.
No.
And, Kevin, I have a question for you. Are you going to put the link to that video up in one in Turkey?
Absolutely, I am. That was sent to me by Neil Gould, who heads an exopolitics organization over in Hong Kong and listens to the show. He's listening now, and I'm very grateful for him sending that to me. And, yes, I am going to put that link on our site. It will be in the information base, which is at the bottom of our main page.
All right, thanks.
Outstanding, thank you. 1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092. And that's toll free. Or you can send a flash message if you're outside of North America. And I know there are loads of you listening. I'm looking at the numbers now, and there are loads of folks around this world listening right now. So if you've got questions or comments, you need to go ahead and flash them to me, flash@kevinsmithshow.com. And don't wait till the last few minutes of the show, because if you do that, we won't have time to address them, all right? So go ahead and send them. Dick, you know, we were talking about the certainty or uncertainty about this event. I have to say, you know, I talk about this kind of thing night after night after night after night. And we talk about all different kinds of events, UFO events, ET events, paranormal events. This is one of the best attested, best witnessed events that I have ever heard of.
Well, you know, I've been in this 43 years, and there were some cases that I thought were strong at the time. The only case that I can call this to, or even close coming to this, would be that Phoenix Lights thing, okay? Because there was a lot of things that went on, but not near the intensity that this thing has generated.
Yeah, I think that's true. All right, let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Bill from Oklahoma.
I'm sorry, and you said Bill?
Yes, Bill from Oklahoma.
All right, Bill, what part of Oklahoma are you in?
I'm in Mustang, Oklahoma. I've called once before.
Where is that?
It's south of the Oklahoma City metro area.
You know, I have some roots in Atoka, Oklahoma, which is in the southern south, right next to Texas.
Yep.
Yeah. What's your question or comment, Bill?
My comment is, maybe it's partly a question, too, but I was wondering if one of the reasons why these UFOs showed up in Texas, you know, if these guys have been, you know, guys being, you know, the intelligence behind the UFOs, you know, maybe they showed up in Texas because of the Texas attitude, you know, and that's the eyewitnesses are sticking to their stories, you know, and they kind of knew that this would happen to get the story out.
That's interesting. Bill, thanks for the call. What do you think about that, Dick?
That's interesting that he says that, but there is another scenario, Kevin, I don't think we covered here. Back in 1952 or 1953, when Eisenhower met with aliens, or supposedly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did. I'm sorry. I got to break that story.
Right.
But it's possible. Maybe they wanted to talk to Bush. I don't know why, because you know, I think these people probably looking for intelligence, and I don't think there's any there.
That's That's a low blow. Let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, yes, this is Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario. How are you doing, Kevin?
Outstanding, Kevin. Go ahead.
And okay, Dick, I do have a question for you. I heard Linda Moulton Howe on another show last week mention about people in Texas who saw the UFOs were threatened into keeping quiet about the issue. Could you shed some light on what Linda Moulton Howe had to say?
I did hear that same comment, but I have not been able to check the sources there.
Dick, let me throw this in. I did talk to one witness who told me that. Told me that he had been strongly pressured to shut up, and he said it was the military that did that. Now, that's one witness. And I don't doubt that, other than this. I think sometimes when someone in uniform makes a very, very firm suggestion, sometimes people may interpret that as a threat. When in actual fact, it's not a threat. It's a very firm suggestion, you know. And that may be the case there.
And, you know, I've encountered that in many investigations, Kevin, where people will not talk because they have been threatened. So that's a possible scenario. I just have not been able to confirm that yet.
Yes. Caller, just hang on a second. I'll be right with you and bring you online. And let me follow it up with this. When I was a cop and I was in uniform, if I had said to you, I think it would be wise, say you were a witness to a crime, and I said to you, Dick, I think it'd be wise if you just didn't talk about this. You might read into that, that I'm threatening you that if you do talk about it, I'm going to do something to you. That's very possible, because when people who are wearing a uniform, the uniform says authority, and when they make a very firm, strong suggestion to you, it can feel threatening when maybe it's not intended that way. And then maybe, again, there was actual threats. But the witness I talked to did not give me details about the threats. I asked, and he said I'd rather not talk about it. And that was that. So I'm just speculating. Let's
right.
go to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Good evening, Kevin. Good evening, Dick.
Good evening.
Okay, my question is, Kevin, if you have to pass it on, if you, Dick can't hear me there, is with all the things going on right now, the one in Puerto Rico, that's got two policemen that seen that, and they're pretty good witnesses, the one in Turkey and the one in Texas, does he think it could have anything to do at all with the way Mars is closest now it's going to be for a long time to the Earth?
Okay, we'll ask him. Thank you.
I have to have a relay on that.
Yeah.
It was really, really low.
All right. There are some rather spectacular things happening. This one in Texas, another giant UFO seen in Puerto Rico and observed by two policemen. And then this one that I talked about in Turkey. He wants to know, with all this stuff going on, do you think there's maybe some relationship to the fact that Mars is very close to the Earth and will be for some time?
I haven't even given that a thought, but, you know, now that he says that, there could be something to that. I just haven't thought about that, Kevin.
Yeah, I had not either. That's one of the things I like about Michelle. He brings perspectives to things that I don't come up with on my own. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yes, Chris.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Mr. Criswell, I had a quick question for you. On, you know, if you can't go into it, I understand that. Has anybody from the military base in the area gotten in touch or wanted to make any kind of effort to kind of talk off record about any involvement in the, any of this?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Kevin earlier, and they're very unhappy. These two individuals that I talked to are very highly connected in the government. They're not real happy with the Air Force now about how they handled this thing.
Gotcha. It just kind of seems like the story, you know, I love when Kevin talks about having to come up with a new script for it. It just kind of seems like everything fell apart, really. They were one step behind everything this time, and it just, everybody seems to know that, you know, that just sounds like bunk.
Well, maybe their script writers are on strike like they are on the TV.
Chris, thanks for the call. That's a possibility. Look, you know, really, and I say that, and I know because I've had some military people tell me that sounds like harsh criticism. Look, I'm telling the truth, and they really need to give some thought to that. If they are going to use cover stories, they need better script writers. I'm not joking. I mean, they need to have script writers that can give you something a little more plausible.
Or if they're gonna tell a lie, at least come up with something better than what they're showing us.
Well, yeah, and that's what I mean. It needs to be at least plausible. But you know, you can't tell an entire county they didn't see what they saw. I mean, you know, it's these guys that do the cover stories. Look, guys, you're not Jedi Knights. You don't do mind control too well here. And, you know, the people saw what they saw. And you need better stories. If you're going to use stories, you need better ones. And it's not an unfriendly suggestion. It's a friendly suggestion. Now, Dick, the... and folks, let me remind you, 1-800-289-1092 is the telephone number. Dick, you talked with some folks that you said are pretty highly connected in the government. I know that from time to time you get calls from people who are military. And you have conversations with people who are military and high-ranking military. Have any of those people made a comment to you about this?
Yes, I had a two-star, and that's, you know, I won't give his name, but I had a two-star call me from the Army and told me, he said, boy, they've got themselves in a soup now, don't they?
That's one way to put it. Caller, are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Mark from Nashport, Ohio.
Yes, Mark.
Hi, Dick.
Hi.
I wanted to point out something about the incident regarding the UFOs in Texas. But first of all, I'd like to say you're doing a great job, and you're always a good guest. However, I think your witness there that said he saw F-14s was probably mistaken. And the reason I say that is the F-14 is a Navy aircraft. I think the witness probably saw F-16.
Well, it may be. That's like if I'm investigating an armed robbery and someone tells me it was a Smith & Wesson and someone else says, no, it was a Ruger. But they're both telling me that it was a revolver. Okay, well, I know I've got a revolver. And so, you know, I think what we have to do when you have witnesses like this, the guy says, it looked like F-14s. Okay, that's what it looked like to him. Others may say it looked like F-16s. The Air Force comes out and says it's F-16s. But what you've got is it was military.
Yeah, I agree. I just wanted to point out the F-14, in fact, was retired in September 22nd of 2006 and replaced by the F-18. The only reason I say that, I don't, you know.
Yeah, just for accuracy.
Yeah.
But by the way, you know, I read an article several years ago that talked about the Huey helicopters had all been retired except one still being flown by the Navy.
Yeah.
And then I got overseas and found out I took a ride on one, and it wasn't one flown by the Navy. So, you know. So, anyway.
And I have one thing to point out. Even though they tell you that they're retired, do not believe it.
Yeah.
And the reason that I can tell you that is because I've seen documents where they said they'll retire this plane or that plane and it's out of service. That's a bunch of crap. I can tell you that firsthand.
All right. Thank you for the call. You point out something that we do need to take a look at, and that is, just for accuracy's sake, what was it? Was it F-16s, F-14s? Don't know, but it was military. And the Air Force said they're ours, so they were military planes. 1-800-289-1092 is the number to call. And I know that, as I said, I know we've got folks all around the world listening. And if you wish to participate and you're not in North America and you don't want to make that international phone call, you can send me a flash message. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com, all right? Oh, and it just so happens that we've got one from Italy. Flash message says, this is a comment from someone who can remember when Texas ruled my world with John Wayne movies, cowboy boots, and six shooters. If any state can bring the government to its knees on the UFO issue, it is the cowboy constituents from the great state of Texas. The world is behind all of you there. Bring the truth to the world. Do not let this be a different kind of Roswell. Good comment, huh?
Good comment. I like that.
There's an interesting story, Angelo. That's the person who sent us the flash message. Interesting story. When Jimmy Carter was president, the governor of Texas was an oil millionaire by the name of Bill Clements. Not Clinton, but Clements. And we had this Arab oil embargo on, and he flew to Mexico and negotiated a deal with the Mexican government for importing oil into Texas, which, the U.S. Constitution says that states cannot do that. However, Texas is or is not a state. That's some question. And so he did it. And then when the news media asked him, Governor, did you clear your itinerary with the State Department? You know, President Carter is flying to Mexico next month to negotiate an oil deal for the United States. Did you clear your itinerary with the State Department? His answer, clear my itinerary with the State Department? Hell, son, I'm the governor of the state of Texas. I suggest Mr. Carter clear his itinerary with me if he's going to fly over Texas airspace. When Carter went to Mexico, they did not fly over Texas. They flew around Texas to get to Mexico.
Oh, brother.
How about
Is Texas, Kentucky's a commonwealth. Is Texas a commonwealth?
No. But Texas was a nation, and when it became a state, it had in its statehood treaty the right to secede. It's the only state that ever had that. And during the Civil War, it seceded. After the Civil War, in order to become a state again, the state had to ratify and sign the Articles of Reconstruction. Texas did not do it and has not done it till today.
Wow. Okay.
So there's some question.
I'm glad you're up on your history on that.
Yeah. And a lot of my acquaintances and friends in Texas think very strongly that Texas should be an independent nation. And my question about that is, so what's the net benefit? Anyway, we won't get into that, but that's why I'm familiar with it, because of some of my acquaintances.
Right.
But
By the way, I want you to put me down for falling on the floor laughing about the interaction poll that you had about the explanation. I want you to put me in that category, because I don't see any other category that fit.
Folks talking about the poll, the opinion poll that's on my website at kevinsmithshow.com. If you haven't voted in that, go over there and vote in it, all right? Tell us what you think. The question is, the Air Force is now saying that
they had 10 planes in the sky, and that's what folks mistook for a UFO. What's your response to that? And the three things you can respond are, I agree, I disagree, I'm rolling on the floor laughing. And somewhere up close to 90% are rolling on the floor laughing. So, and I think that's pretty much around Texas, that's going to be pretty much the opinion. I don't think too many people are going in Texas to agree with the story.
Well, you know, I think it's probably in all 50 plus around the world. I mean, you know, if you've been listening to this story any length of time, you know that something's not right.
Dick, based on what you know and your unique position, and we've got a couple of minutes here before we go to break. Let me see, what have we got? About 4 minutes. Based on what you know from being in your position, having been with AlphaCom, you think these UFOs, do you think these guys are going to land anytime and say, hi?
Not at the present time. I preface that with, Kevin, there's going to have to be a lot more prepping before that happens. And that was the job of the AlphaCom team, to bring movies. Well, you had actually seen the beer commercials and the battery commercials and all that stuff, and some of that stuff's going on today. But there was much more to where they were going to actually do a movie with a scenario like, if anybody has seen the movie, I think we've got it up on our website, UFOs, It Has Begun. That particular video, and I think I give you a copy.
No.
Okay, well, I'll see that you get a copy.
Good.
But that was a movie that started out, and it said in the movie, it says, this is being brought to you by NASA and the Department of Defense, and these facts are true. Now, they had Rod Serling as the host, you know, and it kind of gave a double meaning to the movie, but the whole movie was factual. And that's what they were going to do. They were going to come out with a movie like that, and kind of introduce it to the public, and you know, give them the facts, and let it fall where it may be.
So, do you think that will ever happen?
Oh yeah, I believe that. I believe we're getting closer to it. It's not going to happen this year. I think I said before when we were talking about it, maybe 9 or 10. You know,
mm-hmm.
Not 9 or 10 years, but maybe 09 or 10. It's quite possible. I don't see it happening this year, for the fact that you know, you got all the hoopla with the presidential thing and so forth. And
yeah, the election is going to capture the news.
Do what?
I said the election will capture the news for 2008.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. But the big thing here is I just don't think that we're ready for that yet. Unless these aliens get together and decide, hey, we're gonna show them guys, and that would be a good scenario in itself, I think.
Well, I wonder. I mean, it seems like there are so many big UFO events happening. And by events, I'm talking about things like happened in Texas. There's so many big ones happening around the world. I'm wondering if, you know, and a lot of people are wondering if something's up. You know, have these guys gotten together and said, okay, we're going to do this?
Well, there was an event back, I'm trying to think.
I'll tell you what, while you think about it, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll get your comments on that question. We'll be back on the other side of this break, 1-800-289-1092. That's the toll-free number. Or you can send me a flash message. Send it to flash@kevinsmithshow.com.
Memphis around 5 a.m. Back to burning the blacktop again. This old road's gonna carry me home. Stop in Jackson, call her on the telephone. Staying away is as hard as it seems. Following my heart, chasing my dreams. It feels like I've been gone so long. Come the morning, I'll be home. I can't get there fast enough. Count down the miles up in this old truck. Cause that's phenomenal working in overdrive. Just hold on till I 55. Got a picture of you. Gonna get me there. All she's got is a wing and a prayer. Four old tires hardly roll anymore. Windows don't work, different color door. Leaving the things that I've left under. Counting down the miles and chasing the sun. Cause that's when I'm gonna work in overdrive. Just past the corner, I-55. Picture of you burning my mind. I'm a little bit closer. Every white line ain't nothing better than my mile marker sign. When I rode on by that Louisiana state line.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
And before we get back to our guest, let me just tack on this little bit of information for those of you who have been saying, yeah, I ought to join, but I don't know. Hey, we're going to party on the first Saturday night of February. I'll be in the chat room, and you can ask me all those things you've been wanting to ask me, or you can make all those comments you want to make to me, all right, that you don't want to call in and say. And it's in our members area, so join now, okay? First weekend, first Saturday night of February, I'll be in the chat room. All right, back to our guest, Dick Criswell. And as you know, Dick Criswell is associated with formerly the AlphaCom team. It was dissolved, but he was part of the AlphaCom team under DARPA. And their job was to gather up information for disclosure to the American people about the UFO phenomena. And so he's still active in doing all of that he can. But AlphaCom is no more. It may be again in the future, but right now it isn't. 1-800-289-1092.
1092 is the toll-free number throughout North America. If you're outside of North America, we've got listeners, I know, all over Australia. We've got listeners all over Europe, Northern Europe, Central Europe, Eastern Europe, and in Asia. And also in the United Kingdom, and even in South Africa that I know of. So if you've got questions or comments, get those flash messages in. If you're in North America, dial that number. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. This is Gary from New York.
Yes, Gary.
Good evening, Dick.
Good evening.
You know, I have no doubt these people in Texas had a very, very unusual experience. They did witness a UFO, and I think the big mystery is, what are the high-ranking government officials doing besides scratching their heads, trying to figure out what can we do about this type of craft that just appear, fly where they want to, we can't catch them, we can't control them. What are we going to do about this? Because they are invading airspace everywhere.
Well, you're so right about that. There's that part of the government that says, "Hey, we don't have a handle on that," and it's because special interest groups have not let them have a handle on it. But I'm not saying that they can't shoot them down. They can shoot them down, and that's their scenario. They'd like to shoot them down and learn more about them. But I look at this thing from a perspective of I just wish that they would come clean with some kind of answer that everybody would understand. There's so many scenarios there that people have not even thought about, that they want to get a handle on this thing and bring this forward. And as you said, they're scratching their heads. I think that might be a little bit lower anatomy.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary, thank you for the call.
Thank you very much. Good night.
1-800-289-1092. 1-800-289-1092, toll free. You know, Dick, I do take it on the chin sometimes from people because I say, and I don't, you know, I make no bones about it, I understand why, for instance, the Air Force would not be forthcoming and would give us a cover story for now. I understand sort of why. There is a need for that because I know that what's happening. I'm just sure of it. It's not that I have inside information. I'm just sure of it that what's happening is all kinds of investigation of data is going on, and they are trying to figure out as much as they can about this. They just want to put a lid on it till they know something. The problem is, once they know something, they keep the lid on it. That has been the case since 1947. And I think that's the problem the public has with this. Now, one problem. Another problem is, we're just not the people that existed back in 1947. And when you tell us we didn't see what we saw, we don't scratch our head and say, well, maybe you're right. No. I mean, the attitude of the public is, hell no. We did see what we saw. We may not understand it, but we saw it. And that old Jedi mind trick is not working with the public anymore, and it's not working with the press.
Well, I think the people are a lot smarter about this whole scenario today than they were. There was, and you know this too, Kevin, people trusted the government a lot more in the olden days than they do today, because they've seen all the corruption that goes on. I just really believe that the people that will check the facts will find that there are UFOs, and I can personally tell you that there are UFOs. The government knows about it. They know where some of them come from, but they can't control it. And that's where, you know, they have a problem with this thing.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do we need to control it?
In some cases, I'd say yes. In some cases, the human-looking aliens that I have been exposed to, I don't think we have a problem with them. But some of the other groups, like the reptoids and the different other people that come from who knows where. I mean, they're still trying to find out where, what star system or galaxy they're from. We may have a problem because those people, we might just be a farm to them for food.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have a problem with. I just don't want to be killed like a chicken, you know, and ate, you know, for their purposes. And there are scenarios like that. But when you talk about the people that like the Nordics. That Billy Myers talks about, and I know a lot of people have problems with the Billy Myers story, and I'm here to tell you tonight that I actually seen the dossier on that Billy Myers stuff, and that stuff is real. There's a bunch of people that have a problem with that story. I don't, because I seen the dossier, and that thing was probably about 4 inches thick. Now, it took me hours to go through it. And I can see some of the problems with that, why they couldn't believe that story, because he took pictures that were absolutely phenomenal. And some of these people today, you know, if they're lucky, if they get a fuzzy looking picture.
Yeah.
Now, there was a reason for that, because he was told that he was supposed to show the people of the world that they did exist. And there's a technology that can be achieved there to enhance the photo to make it look like it's a still and there's no distortion. So,
well, and you know, it's easier to do with movie film than it is with a video.
That's correct.
And, you know, he was shooting with first
eight millimeter film. Yeah.
Well, and then 16.
Yeah.
And you know, you can take one frame of that, and it is a still, and so it's, yeah, it can be done. But now let me ask you a question here. We've got 2 minutes till break. In the movie Men in Black and Men in Black 2, we are presented with, of course, that's fiction and it's kind of tongue in cheek and so forth, but there's sort of this. Like we have international airports, there's sort of this galactic spaceport where they all check in when they get to Earth. Does anything like that exist where they have to check in when they get here?
I've not seen any documentation on that, but the Men in Black do exist, and I had an encounter with them way back in my career.
What is their purpose? We have one minute.
Well, the purpose is to stop an individual from coming forth with some facts that they believe might be detrimental to their secret. If they find that you're going to go out and tell, hey, I got something that, you know, that is concrete and I can prove it, they don't want you to tell that story, and they're going to try every way in the book to try to stop you.
You may be aware of this, and you may not be aware of this, but in the Phoenix Lights story, Frances Emma Barwood, the city councilwoman, told us on this show about a Men in Black situation where a man called who had video that was up close and good video, and he was going to bring it to her office. Men in Black showed up
after that telephone conversation, told him they were from her office, and they picked the video up, and it disappeared. We'll be back right after this break to talk with Dick Criswell and to take your calls, 1-800-289-1092. Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
We are back. My guest is Dick Criswell. We're talking about this UFO incident that happened in Texas. And, Dick, I have received email from some of our listeners and also a radio station owner in San Antonio that says they've been seeing UFOs there, too. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, we're working on that as we speak. I have a gentleman now working on that for us, and we should have something probably within the next day or so.
The station owner, I think this happened when you were on with us last, but the station owner sent me an invitation to come to San Antonio. He said, you can stay at my place, and we'll go out and see if we can kind of talk to some witnesses and investigate these UFOs around San Antonio. And I may or may not be able to do that, but, I mean, that indicates that people there are pretty
serious about this as well, not just in Erath County, but also in San Antonio and around Austin. Austin is to the south from Erath County. Austin is southeast. It's not due south, but it's not east very much.
Right.
And it's south-southeast from Erath County. San Antonio would be a little bit to the west of Austin, and it would be more of a straight line south from Erath County. So it would make sense to me that if this thing is flying south or coming from the south, it would fly over that area before it got to Erath County, or it would fly over that area after leaving Erath County. Eventually, the same stuff would fly over San Antonio, Austin area.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Why Texas?
Because that's where the president lives.
Do you think that's it?
I just don't think that's it. I think there's another reason, because I had heard some people saying that they'd seen them in that area, not that big, but they'd seen them for about 30 years in that area.
Well, UFO sightings in Texas are not, that's not something new, but this flurry of activity that's happening, you know, you've got sightings in Austin, you've got sightings in San Antonio, you've got sightings in Dublin and Stephenville. It seems like there's a flurry of activity there, and I wonder why Texas?
You know, going back to what you said, you know, about the men in black, is there a place that they check in? Well, maybe Texas is a place they check in. You know, that's only a scenario, you know, and it's probably as good as any. I wish I did know the answer why, but, you know, at this point, it's just purely speculation.
You know, back during the Phoenix Light scenario, when that was happening. Now, you know, I looked at the timeline on this thing, and actually that happened in March of
1997,
and I left and was in Bosnia in April. So I was in the United States when it happened. I was so busy getting ready to be deployed out to Bosnia, I didn't hear about it. I didn't know about it until I got overseas. When I got overseas is when I heard about it.
Well, it wasn't as prominent as this Texas thing is. I can tell you that right now. Because Phoenix Lights was not carried by the news media near as much as this Texas sighting. I mean, we actually went back in our records and tried to pull up what we had on data file for the Phoenix Lights.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised, even as prominent as that was, it's not near the case that this is.
Yeah, and the press did not treat it near as seriously.
No, they did not.
You know, there was more chuckle in it than what we've seen with this event. We've got a couple of minutes here, about four minutes until the end of the show. And I know that there are people in Texas listening to this show right now. You heard when we had Constable Gayton on, and you heard what he had to say. You've listened to Dick talk about other witnesses that he's interviewed from Texas. I have interviewed at least two other witnesses from Texas that saw this thing. Not on the air, but I have talked to them. Dick, what would you say to the folks in Texas that are listening to this right now?
I'd say if you have any information at all, and I mean, I don't care how minute you think the information is, there's a number up on our website that you can call, which will personally put you in contact with me, and that's www.canyoustandthetruth.com. And I'm telling you, or if you don't feel comfortable that way, there's a way to email me from the website. Please do that. And let's not let this one slip away from us, because I can tell you that it's too important. And I personally would feel kind of left out in the dark if you know something and you're not telling. And don't be afraid of coming forward. And like I said earlier, we keep these things just like doctor-patient relationships. If you don't want us to tell, we won't tell. If you want us to share it and you don't mind your name being out there, that's fine too. But please come to www.canyoustandthetruth.com. And for those of you that want to become members, there's a way to do that, and investigators, and we need directors in several different states. So please visit us.
All right. Now, and I think this is important for folks to think about in Texas. You know, number one, don't worry about what other people think about you. They're not paying your bills anyway. And if they're not paying your bills, why let them run your life? All right? So don't worry about that. Number two, understand that leaders in your community have come forward, which, again, that's a very important and an unusual event. They've stepped forward and said, here's what I saw. And number three, the more witnesses that tell what they saw, the better this thing can be documented, and maybe something can be figured out about what's going on here. Maybe not. You don't know till we try. But, you know, investigators can't try unless they have testimony to work with. There's nothing an investigator can do if he's got a blank sheet of paper. All right? He's got to have testimony. So,
Got one other thing.
Mm-hmm. We have 1 minute.
Okay. And if you're an Air Force person that wants to tell what you your side of the story, I'm here to listen. And I'll listen to anything that the Air Force tells me. I may not believe it, but let's work on this thing together. Let's try to get this thing out. I mean, I know you guys have been trying for a while to try to save face. So if anybody's out there that wants to talk to me, of course, you know, I have an above top secret clearance. Nothing that you could tell me would be off the wall, I can assure you.
All right. And that is, your website is canyoustandthetruth.com. Canyoustandthetruth.com. Folks, go over there and check that out. And there's a lot of good stuff to read over there. And you said you're going to have the videos and pictures up on the site soon. Dick, thank you for being with us again this evening. I do appreciate it. It has been fascinating.
Well, thank you very much.
Stay on the line with me for a moment. Folks, that's it. We have come to the end of this show. And another great bit of information. If you miss a single second of any show, you are going to miss a galaxy, a universe of information. So don't miss it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. I'll be back tomorrow night with Giorgio Tsoukalos. And we'll be talking about ancient astronauts, all right? Until then, so long, everybody.